Welcome to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. This teaching is from the series, Devoted, Disciplines That Deepen Our Delight in God. Devoted engagement with the spiritual disciplines described in Acts 2, 42 to 47 is not a burdensome religious duty, but rather the Spirit-empowered practices by which ordinary disciples experience growing delight in God. We hope this helps you understand and apply God's Word in your life today.
For those who don't know, for any of our guests or visitors here, my name is Brett. I have privilege of serving as an elder and the teaching pastor here at Bay Ridge. We are really glad to have everyone here with us. And today we're going to be concluding our series that we've been doing going through Acts 2:42 that's called Devoted. Next week, since we're finishing the series this week, we're going to be starting a new series which is called Holy Waiting. And that is a series on the book of 1 Thessalonians. So we're going to be going through 1 Thessalonians basically through the rest of spring and summer. And you can start reading in 1 Thessalonians to do that. And it should be a great time for us together in the Word. And again, we'll be beginning that next week. And trust that it'll be really, really encouraging and helpful just to spend time in what's actually the first letter probably that the Apostle Paul wrote. But today, on Pentecost Sunday, we're going to be finishing our series here in the early parts of Acts, mainly around Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We're going to actually have a couple of verses here today, which is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and then in Acts chapter 2. So you can read along. It's on the screens. It's also in the booklet. And I encourage you to bring a Bible and follow along so you can read the text and the context with me. So hear now the word of our living covenant God. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, we're going to read that whole concluding section today. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So today we're going to conclude this series, and I mentioned last week as we were looking at prayer that there really are two topics that normally when somebody stands up and says, I'm going to talk about this, everybody starts feeling a little bit guilty. One is prayer, and the other is evangelism. So since we did prayer last week, we'll do evangelism this week. But I trust that folks did not feel guilty last week, but rather encouraged, and I hope the same thing is going to be true today, because I want to remind us in all of this, as it just happens, we're concluding this series on Pentecost Sunday. And it's kind of a coincidence. I didn't actually plan it that way, but partway in the series, I realized, oh, we're going to actually finish this on Pentecost. And we're kind of circling back around because we began this series on how we grow in the spiritual disciplines by talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit's the one who draws us in to walk with our God and to delight in God. And we're going to conclude the series the same way, seeing how out of our growing delight in God, the Spirit empowers and propels us forth into mission. So this is kind of the overflow of what we've been looking at, that we'll be looking at today. So we begin by talking about, I want to remind us, because it's been kind of an underlying theme throughout the series, and that is the new covenant gift of the Holy Spirit. I can't stress enough the importance of understanding this. On the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching, and notice in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, when he's standing up to explain what has happened on Pentecost, Peter writes, "This was uttered through the prophet Joel, And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, Peter's standing up, and he's explaining what's happened there, and he says, look, this isn't something new. This was talked about by the prophet Joel. Don't you understand? Joel prophesied about the beginning of the new covenant, and he spoke about the great gift of the Holy Spirit, that God was going to give his spirit to powerfully baptize all of God's people in the Spirit. And so notice, Joel tells us here, I'll be pouring out my spirit on all flesh. And then he goes and he starts to break it down, and he says, that means your sons and your daughters. So this is male and female. It's not just men who are going to receive the Holy Spirit. It's going to be male and female. It is young and old. It's not just those who are mature or have moved on to a new level in their spiritual walk. It is both young and old. And then Joel actually said, even on servants. And that particular word there is doulos, is the Greek word, which often is translated slaves. In other words, this is not just for the rich and the wealthy and even the free. Even upon servants or slaves, the Spirit is going to be poured out. And actually, beyond even what Peter, I think, understood at that moment, when Joel prophesied that the Spirit was going to be poured out on all flesh, it's not just Jewish men and women, not just Jewish young and old, not just even Jewish servants and free, it's Jew and Gentile. All in the new covenant are going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is important for us to understand. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been given the Holy Spirit. There is no more distinction. There's not that elders have one level and everybody else has another, or if you've been a super saint. No, when you come into Christ and you are in the new covenant, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to all. All the distinctions that were so important in the ancient world and often in our world, that were so important in Judaism, that were so important even normally in the old covenant, they were washed away as the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost upon the people of God. And this is true, not only, you might say, well, but maybe that was just for them. Maybe that was on that day. But Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2, no, this is for all times, all people. In verses 38 and 39, the people had repented as Peter proclaimed the gospel, and then they said, what should we do? And Peter's answer is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not you might, not you could, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, and the promise is for your children, and the promise is for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God will call to himself. It's for you. It's for those who haven't been born yet. It's for those who are here in Jerusalem. It's for those who live in the far corners of the earth. It's for today. It's forever. If you are in the new covenant, the promise of the Spirit is yours. Peter is just emphasizing what Joel said. And I want to, just for a second before I move on, encourage you, meditate deeply upon this. That which old covenant believers could only long for. If you look, there's the time when Moses told Joshua, oh, I wish that the Lord would put his spirit on all of his people. And Peter's saying, today's the day. What had been looked for, what had been longed for is in fact true. Everywhere you go, God is with you because the Holy Spirit has been given to you. What a great, gracious promise and blessing that has happened, not just on that day of Pentecost, and not even today when we kind of remember Pentecost, but at all times. And the reason this is so important is because, remember, Jesus had told the disciples before they could begin their ministry, before they could start their evangelism, he told them, you got to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. That's the first text we had in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Notice Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's why the Spirit has come. He has come to empower us. A great book that I've got on my shelf at home, there was a scholar who's now gone to be with the Lord. His name was Gordon Fee. He went through every time Spirit was mentioned in all the letters of Paul in the New Testament to go through and write about it and see what was Paul teaching us about the Holy Spirit. And the title of the book is God's Empowering Presence. That's who the Spirit of God is. The Spirit who is given to you, the Spirit who is given to me, the Spirit who is poured out upon the people of God is, in fact, God's empowering presence. And I remind us that what we've looked at in this series regarding the spiritual disciplines is not something we do on our own. That is the overflow of the powerful presence of God through the Holy Spirit. So on that day, we're told 3,000 people repent. They are baptized. The Holy Spirit is given to them, just like the Holy Spirit had been given to the 120 there in the upper room. And then the overflow of that is what we read in verse 42. See, as the Spirit has come upon them, the result of that is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is good news. The devotion of the early believers is not that, wow, this was a super disciplined set of people. That's not the message of the book of Acts. No, the Holy Spirit is given to them, and He is empowering them to be devoted in these ways. If the Spirit was not there, they would not be devoted like this. But because the Spirit is given, they can be devoted like this. So everything we've talked about in this whole series flows from the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is given to draw you into communion with the Father through the Son. He is the one who works so that when I open the Word of God, my Father speaks to me. So that when we are even in fellowship with one another, it's not just two people talking about things they like. It actually is real participation, sharing with one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that when we come to the Lord's table later, it's not just a ritual, but we are actually ministered to by God Himself. So that when we pray, it's not us just uttering words into the air. Rather, we are in communion with God Himself. All of this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And then out of that, the Spirit will propel us for mission. So, and that's what we want to mainly focus on today, because all of that is true and the Spirit has empowered us in that way. The overflow of it is every one of us are empowered to be part of God's mission. Every one of us are called to share the gospel. Every one of us are called to be part of the expansion of God's kingdom in the world. Notice again in our text in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is specifically speaking of the power that we are given. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon me, and you will be my witnesses. It's not just a random power. It is a power specifically for us to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so part of why I wanted to take that couple of minutes and remind us that the Spirit is given to all is the Spirit comes, and when He comes, He empowers us to be witnesses to a desperate world with the gospel. And that's not a call for a few, that's a call for all. In the old covenant, it might be a few prophets, priests, and kings, but in the new covenant, the Spirit is given to all. He is given to all to empower to be witnesses, and then the gospel goes forth. And so again, I remind us, as with all the Christian life, this isn't about my personal traits, my personal discipline, or my, you know, natural gifts or whatever I've got. No, this is something that is for all believers, because it's not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice that when God's empowering presence comes, this call to be a witness is everything from the local place where we live to the very ends of the earth. At the end of verse 8, we read, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So the mission begins there in Jerusalem, but it spreads everywhere. And in fact, I mentioned this briefly at the beginning of the series, that's the outline of the entire book of Acts, right there in verse 8, because Jerusalem is Acts chapter 1, verse 7. If you read it, everything's in Jerusalem. Then Acts chapter 8 through 12 is in Judea and Samaria. And then from Acts chapter 13, it opens in Antioch and it spreads out and ends all the way over in Rome. That's the whole story of Acts. The book of Acts is the record of the early church filled with the Spirit, growing in their devotion and delight in God, joining in God's mission to reach the nations with the blessing of the gospel. And what I want us to understand today is you live in Acts 29. Every one of us live in Acts 29. The mission continues, and the good news is when we read and we look in here, we say, man, what would it have been like to be there? You live in that. Acts 29, the same Holy Spirit who empowered the gospel to go from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth is the same Spirit who's given. He's not gotten old. He's not gotten tired. He is here and he wants to empower every one of us to be part of this mission, and we will do it until Jesus returns. And this is not even something new there in the book of Acts. The church has received new impetus and power, but this has been God's plan from the very beginning. If you go back to the book of Genesis, a very important text and one that we kind of quote or paraphrase at the end of every gathering as we will today, God made a covenant with Abraham. And the covenant with Abraham was that God was going to bless the nations through Abraham. Notice in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, I will make of you, Abraham, a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God is promising to bless Abraham. And you have to understand, Abraham wasn't sitting there and saying, well, of course, this makes perfect sense. He was an old guy who had no children. He was being told to leave everything that he had known. It appeared like his life was going nowhere. And God then says, doesn't matter, because it's not about you, it's about me, and I'm making covenant with you, and I am promising you, I will bless you. But what if other people around me curse you? You don't need to worry about that. I got your back, Abraham. Whatever they do, I'm going to bless you. And in fact, I'm going to bless you so much, all nations are going to be blessed through you. And then what's amazing is you go along, of course, you get to Genesis chapter 15, and Abraham is still struggling, and God reaffirms the covenant and says, Abraham, I'm telling you, count the stars, your offspring, the people that are going to come from you are going to be more than that. And then in Genesis 17, he reaffirms the covenant again. And then in Genesis chapter 22, God again does it. But what's interesting in Genesis 22, when Abraham is asked to sacrifice Isaac, when Abraham is willing to go through, and then God delivers Isaac by the ram who dies in Isaac's place. God there says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your offspring, and it's through your offspring that the nations are going to be blessed. So this is God's covenant with Abraham. But what's interesting is, the scripture's clear, the fulfillment of that covenant promise is not anything that happens in the Old Testament. Israel was not a blessing to the nations. They did not fulfill that. Because who's the offspring of Abraham? Jesus is the offspring of Abraham. And you don't have to take my word for it. The Apostle Paul interprets it for us. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes this, now the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring. And again, it's specifically in Genesis 22, 18. It does not say unto offsprings, meaning many, but referring to one and to your offspring, who is who? Christ. Okay, I'm teaching y'all how to read the Bible here. If you are reading Genesis and you're not seeing Jesus, You are not reading Genesis. You're not reading what it means. It's about Christ. How much of this is about Christ? All. All. Genesis 1:1, all the way to the last verse of Revelation. It is about Christ. He is the offspring of Abraham. God's promise to Abraham is Jesus, or his offspring is Jesus. Jesus is the seed of Abraham who brings blessing to the nations. That is the call. And what that means then is, if I am in Christ, I receive God's promise to Abraham. I receive the blessings offered to Abraham because I am in the offspring of Abraham, Jesus, and therefore I'm called to be a blessing to the nations. Paul says this in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. He says, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.'" Do you hear what Paul's saying? When you read Genesis 12, you need to say, "Oh, that's me that he's talking about. God's talking about me being in Christ. God's saying that I'm part of his covenant with Abraham." And Paul concludes in verse 8, "So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And make no mistake, what that means then is, what is the primary blessing? It's the gospel. See, Paul says, when the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you all nations shall be blessed." So, no surprise, what are going to be my final words today as we have a benediction at the end? You are blessed, therefore go be a blessing. What is the primary blessing? It is the gospel, friends. You've been given the gospel. You who were alien to God, alien to God's kingdom, under the wrath of God, by nature children of wrath, dead in your trespasses and sins, God showed mercy and saved you through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are blessed. No matter what else is happening, you are blessed. And God says, go be a blessing. Go spread that. Tell others the same good news that has been given and proclaimed to you. And so if you believe in Jesus, the true seed of Abraham, you are blessed to receive all of God's promises. Paul concludes this in Galatians 3. He's dealing with this a lot, and he concludes it this way. And I want you to think of yourself, because this, if you are a believer, this is true of you. In Galatians 3, 27 and 29, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is no male or female." Do those distinctions sound familiar? It's what we talked about a few minutes ago. This is exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. "For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." Every covenant blessing God promised to Abraham is yours. I probably don't have a drop of Abraham's blood in my veins, far as I know, but it doesn't matter. I am his child. I am the offspring. Every blessing, when God said, "Abram, count the stars," one of those stars was me. And I'm the heir of the covenant blessing. And that means I am blessed. Not because I have an optimistic personality, not because this week is going well, but because God Almighty has said, "I've made covenant. I bless you." Well, what if the guy next door is trying to curse me? It doesn't matter. You let me deal with that. I'm blessing you. You be a blessing to all the world. There's so much blessing, it can't just stay in Annapolis. It's got to spread. It's got to go everywhere because you are blessed. Okay, this is why we end our meeting this way. There's a lot of theology wrapped in that sentence. You are blessed. So go be a blessing. What if my cup runs empty? Don't worry, I got a big pitcher I'm refilling it from. You are blessed by inexhaustible supply, by the covenant promise of God that is given and sealed in the Holy Spirit. And so this is the call that we are doing, that we are heirs of God's covenant with Abraham. We are given all the covenant blessings. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon us in the new covenant, and therefore I can go be a blessing to others. And make no mistake, primarily, there's all kinds of ways I can be a blessing, but primarily that is me spreading the gospel. That is me letting other people know the good news. There are, since Genesis, we're all hiding from God. As I was getting ready this morning, I was just reading all the times when God, when he comes to Abraham and he calls out to him at the beginning of the covenant, and then in Genesis 22, he says, Abram, and Abram says, here I am. When God reaches out and he calls to Isaiah, you remember he says, who will go for me? And what does Isaiah say? Here I am. When God comes to Mary, and Mary is like, how can I possibly be pregnant? And the Lord says, I'm going to do it. Mary says, behold, I'm your servant. As opposed to, what was it that Adam did? God had to say, where are you? And it's not here I am, it's I'm hiding over here in the bush. See, here's the natural state. The people you're going to be in contact with today and tomorrow that are not believers, they're hiding. They're full of shame within themselves. They're full of shame with the people they're closest to. They're hiding from themselves. They're hiding from God. They're hiding from their neighbor. And we have the freedom to proclaim the good news. You don't have to hide. Come out of the bushes, take those fig leaves off, be clothed in Christ. That is the good news. That is the gift we've got. And notice the overflow of this. I'm not going to put it on the screen because it takes too much space. But if you notice in Acts 2, flowing out of verse 42, there's the whole description of what the early church is like. They're devoted to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe is upon everyone, and God is at work, and there's signs and wonders, and all who believe they're together, and they're sharing with one another. They're even willing to sell their possessions and belongings, and they're taking care of each other. And then day by day, we're told, they're attending the temple together. They're breaking bread in their homes. They're receiving their food, and there's just this glad and generous hearts, and they're full of joy. And then in verse 47, they're praising God, and they have the favor of all the people, and the Lord is adding to their number daily those who are being saved. See, the good news is we sometimes feel guilty. You know, oh, I got to get out and I got to do evangelism. And it's just up, it's like me and Jesus. Once again, as I've been saying through the whole series, it's never just me and Jesus. We're called into community. The whole community is on mission together. This is always the call of God for us to be part of it. And that's exactly what we see in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit is poured out. They're growing in their delight of God as a community. And then that is spreading all around to the community all around them. It is attractive. It is drawing people in. And as I've been saying, man, if we've ever lived in a time where people are lacking community, We're just in a loneliness epidemic. We have the privilege of saying, I have good news. You can get off of social media, which is really anti-social media, and you can come join an actual community of people who are experiencing the favor of God, who are open to one another, and we don't have to be ashamed, because it's not like I have to tell you a deep, dark secret. I sin. You already know that. My wife certainly knows that. Right? We're aware that we can be open with each other because we know we're under the favor of God. And the community gets to extend that out. The picture there in Acts 2 is a community that has understood the gospel. They're walking in the new covenant gift of the Spirit. It's causing increasing delight in God day by day. Brothers and sisters, that is a community that is blessed and being a blessing. And that's what God wants us to build and to do. So I want us to think for a minute about how we apply the word, and kind of as I've done in this series, a little bit different, but we've been giving out a handout here. And I'm not going to go into the full depths of everything in the handout, but I want to just encourage you in thinking about mission. And I want to remind us again, because as I said, usually if I talk about fellowship or, you know, if I talk about coming to the Lord's table, everybody doesn't get, you know, nervous and guilty. But when you talk about prayer and evangelism, everybody does. But I want to encourage you, relax. God is at work in and through you, and he wants to even extend that. So how do we grow in that? Let me give just a few points. Number one, remember, all Christians are called and a part of God's mission. This is not for a few spiritual elite. This is not for missionaries somewhere, or, you know, the pastor, or, you know, a few people who have a gift. All Christians are part of God's mission. That's part of being given the gift of the Spirit. But we also see in the letters in the New Testament, Paul writes to the Colossians and tells them, you know, be wise in the way you're acting towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you know how to answer everyone. Paul's saying, look, if you're walking in the Spirit, there's going to be open doors. There's going to be opportunities. Peter said the same thing in 1 Peter 3:15. Just be ready. Be prepared. You're going to get questions. Just be ready to share the gospel when it happens. It is part of the Abrahamic covenant that we have been given the blessing of the gospel. We're to spread it. Secondly, prayer is essential in this. This is where all of these things that we've been talking about tie together with one another. Paul is constantly requesting for prayer for himself, for his co-workers. He's telling the believers, devote yourselves to prayer. Pray for us and be ready. As you are praying, God is going to open doors. That's in Colossians 4:2-6. So the first part of evangelism there actually is just me praying. I want to encourage you this week. Maybe there's somebody that you would love to see open up and have their eyes open to the gospel. Spend time praying for them. We've had the blessing in recent months of seeing, I think, about a dozen people baptized in water, some of them brand new in the faith. Some of them people have been praying for years. And I can say amen for Moretta sitting over there next to Linda. I mean, 91 years old when she responded to the gospel. It is never, ever too late for anyone to respond to the gospel. We need to pray and don't grow weary in praying. God can break through. Third thing, relax. You may be here saying, Brett, I know you say that, but I don't think I'm very good at this. I think I'm kind of inadequate. Amen. You are. Here's good news. So am I. It's not up to you. The gospel is the power of God for salvation, not you. They're not sick, they're dead. You can't do anything about it, but God can. You're like Ezekiel. Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? You know. Okay, Ezekiel, start talking to them. Okay, Lord. I'll just preach to dry bones. And then suddenly, they're alive. You're not responsible to convert anyone, nor am I. I'm just responsible to speak the gospel. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts of sin, righteousness, judgment. It's not my job to get out there and convict of sin. It's just my job to proclaim the truth. And then I leave the results in God's hand, which should let you sleep well at night. You are not being judged by God about how you converted someone. You can't convert anyone. God can. What we're called to do is simply open our mouth and be a testimony. We're just simply called to tell others. And they may say, I don't want it. That's okay. I'm blessed and I'm just spreading blessing. And if you don't want the blessing, you can leave it laying on the road. But I'm trusting that God is going to break through eventually and do it. Fourthly, I want to say, relax. You don't have to be able to answer every question. Okay? Sometimes we imagine, but I'm going to have this world-class intellect that's going to start. That's probably not what's going to happen. Your next-door neighbor is probably not a world-class intellect. They are probably just like you. And for the world-class intellects out there, God has world-class intellects who are rubbing shoulders with them and can answer their questions. I just need to be able to share with the regular everyday people that I'm around. I don't have to know everything. And if somebody does ask a question and I don't know the answer, here's the freeing response. I don't know, but I will get back to you. And it can even be that they are more. In the handout that I want you to think about, you remember the story where Jesus heals the blind man? The guy's been blind from birth. Jesus heals him. The Pharisees keep calling him in and grilling him. Now, y'all work with me here. Who knows more Bible, the Pharisees or that guy? The Pharisees do. Who's got more schooling and more understanding? The Pharisees do. And they're grilling this guy, and he's got this great answer. Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer all that. I just know I was blind. Now I can see. That's all I know. And you can just say, I don't know. I was laying dead in the dirt one day, and Jesus said, awake, and here I am. That's all you have to know. I was a great sinner. I've got a great Savior. That's it. It's a very simple thing. You don't have to be able to answer any question because the power's in the gospel. In fact, Paul says the gospel is foolishness. So if you think I sound kind of foolish, you're in good company. Paul said that's what it is. It's foolishness, but it's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. God can use that with anyone. So if you don't know anything else to say, just say, all I know is I was blind and now I see. I was dead, now I'm alive. I was walking in guilt and now I'm free. That's what I know. I may not know the answer to your question, but I do know that. That's what we hold on to and what we proclaim. And the basics of the gospel are really simple. This is not deep, deep philosophy. I was a sinner. Jesus died for my sins. He's been raised from the dead. He appeared to a whole bunch of people to prove that. That's what I'm here telling you. If you believe that, if you embrace that, then you too are in Christ. So this is all actually very simple for us. And again, concluding the last little point here, or I guess the next to last point, is you're part of community as well. One great thing you can simply do is just invite somebody. It was back in November, Christopher called Hayden and said, get dressed, you're coming to church with me. That's a good method of evangelism. And Hayden said, sure, I guess I will. And then we got coffee a couple days later, and he's like, so what do I do to follow Jesus? Okay, well, this is really easy. Okay, this is what we do. And then you get baptized, and then you start walking with them. Part of the joy of being part of a community is it can be as simple as, hey, why don't you just come to church with me? Why don't you come experience what it is that we're talking about? Come see, come be part of. That is a simple way for us to do. And then the last thing that I want to encourage you with, because we're kind of in a cycle in all this, if you've experienced this before, you'll understand what I'm saying. Participation in God's mission in the world increases my own joy and delight in God. Our subtitle for this series is The Disciplines That Deepen Our Delight in God. God is, we don't serve a stoic God. We serve a God who wants you to be filled with joy, who wants you to have delight. Being part of God's mission actually accomplishes that. Paul wrote to Philemon and said, I'm praying that the sharing of your faith may become effective for full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. That word sharing there is koinonia, the fellowship. Saying, Philemon, I'm praying as you're just sharing, as you are part of what God is doing and you're sharing your faith with others, I'm praying that that's going to help you grow in your own knowledge of Christ. And the more you know Christ, the more you're finding delight in Him, the more you're understanding every good thing you have. It helps you grow into light, and then the more I do that, the more that propels me back out into mission. If you remember, we've kind of got our little tagline here for discipleship: love, connect, serve, reach. And if you look at the logo and you notice, the more I love God, the more that makes me want to connect with other believers, the fellowship we've talked about, the more that leads me into serving inside the church, the more that propels me out into reaching the world with the gospel. And then what does that do? That propels right back into me loving God more. Because I tell you, it's exciting when you get to share the gospel with someone. It's exciting when you watch God at work in their heart and in their life. There is nothing that just kind of causes you to overflow with joy. When you have found something that is wonderful, most of us, when we get excited about something, what do we want to do? Tell somebody else. I mean, that is really what we do. When we're excited, you know, it's not like when we had a child that 6 months later people at work were like, oh, I didn't know you had a baby. Oh, they knew we had a baby. They knew the day I found out Linda was pregnant with a child. Every last time, it's like, I want to share the news of what's happening. It's the same way with God and the gospel. So I want to encourage us in doing all of this, in joining in, and again, part of what I'm trying to say, I hope, as with everything else, don't let this be I feel guilty. I'm not. This is a natural part of what it means. You are blessed, and you get the joy of being a blessing. There is a world out there, even if they don't know. Remember yourself. The first time somebody told me, I mean, I was living in Georgia, where like everybody goes to church except for us. We were the only people not going to church. And people would talk to me about Jesus. And my first response was not, oh, joy, tell me more. It's like, okay, that's kind of weird. Until it wasn't. Until my eyes were opened. And then I'm like, why didn't y'all tell me more? Well, we have been telling you. It just took a while for you to understand. But that's what's going on. There is no question, when you are reaching out to your neighbor, your coworker, your friend, your family member, and they aren't walking with Jesus, it's not a question if they are not experiencing the abundant life God wants them to have. They are not. There is so much more for them that God has for them. And we just have the joy of explaining. If they resist it, that's fine. Again, I can relax. I'm not responsible. I just shared with you the truth. And I will just keep praying that the truth will lay in and grab a hold of the person. It might be tomorrow. Might be next week. It might be years from now. But the Word of God is powerful. And we're trusting that He will do that. Now, what we're going to do to conclude is we are going to come to the Lord's table together, because this is the table of our joy and our delight. It's the table where the Holy Spirit works, and it's also the table of the gospel. We're going to be reciting the gospel to remind ourselves this is the blessing that we are given, that we are invited into the very presence of God. I say this regularly, but this should astound you right now. You can come to this table. I, with all of my sin, am invited to this table because of what God has done. Every time we come here, you should remind yourself, as you take the bread and you drink the cup today, remind yourself, oh, I'm blessed. I am blessed. And then we ask the Spirit to work and to help us be a blessing. I'm going to begin today. We're not going to read it together. I'm going to read to you Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. I want you to hear these things that are true of you. This is who you are in Christ. Hear the blessing of our God upon you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You are blessed by the Father. You are blessed in the Son. You are blessed and sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are blessed. And if you are a believer, having that blessing, come to the table to receive from our God. For what I received from the Lord, I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, and it is poured out so that your sins may be forgiven. Drink from this, all of you, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The elders are going to pass out the elements, and I want to encourage you as you get them and hold them. We'll take them together in a couple moments, but I want you to think through what we just read, all the blessings you have in our great God, so that we can come and give thanks to him together in just a moment. Father, we give you praise for your glorious grace, for you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before you, and that through his great work, we sinners are part of your family. We praise you for all these blessings, and we ask that as we receive this bread, you will feed our souls to deepen our delight in you. Brothers and sisters, receive and eat the bread of life. Lord Jesus, we give you praise for your glorious grace. For every spiritual blessing has come through your work in our behalf. We have redemption through your blood shed on the cross, the full forgiveness of all our sins. You are the rich treasure of grace and blessing, through whom we have an eternal inheritance. For in you, every promise of the Father is yes, and we simply say amen. We praise you for all these blessings, and we ask that as we receive this cup, you will satisfy the thirst of our souls and deepen our delight in you. Brothers and sisters, receive and drink the cup of life. Holy Spirit, we give you praise for your glorious grace, for every spiritual blessing has been applied to us by your presence and work. When we heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, you opened our eyes so that we might believe. You sealed us, guaranteeing our inheritance. And you are the one who will keep us until eternity, when it will be fully realized. On this Pentecost Sunday, We remember the day that you were first poured out upon the people of God in fulfillment of all the promises of the new covenant. So as the people of God, we ask you to come upon us in fresh Pentecostal fullness and power now. Fill us, O Spirit of God, so that our desire and delight in our God will deepen each and every day. Fill us, Holy Spirit, so that we will walk in faithfulness with God and His people. Fill us, empower us, Spirit of God, so that we might be witnesses for Jesus, spreading the gospel and its blessings from here to the ends of the earth. We praise you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all the blessings we have in you. Hear and answer our prayer, gracious Father, for we ask it in the name of Jesus through the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. And God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, receive the blessing of your God. God says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I want you to go forth. You are blessed. So go out and be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. For more teachings and resources, please visit www.brcc.church.